Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. This is edition number 65 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and today we come to question number 60. Let's pray together first, and then we'll take up just the first part of the answer to question number 60. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, as we come before you again at the beginning of a new day, as we seek to use this day to honor and glorify you, we would pray that you would teach us from your word about this one day in seven that you have given to us, that we might enjoy you and your people and worship you and honor you. We pray that you would be gracious to us and help us, even in this time, we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, today we come to question number 60, as we continue to look at the issues surrounding the fourth commandment as given to us in God's Word. Today we're going to begin to consider how we are to sanctify the Sabbath day. Question number 60 asks, how is the Sabbath to be sanctified? And the answer is, the Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. Today we're just going to look at that first half of the answer to question number 60, that the Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days. We note right away from the command itself in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 10, we are told there, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates." Now, in order for us to properly honor the Lord's Day, as it is given in the question itself, to sanctify it, to set it apart from every other day of the week, as we have been directed and commanded by the fourth commandment, we must first recognize that we need to come apart from our normal regular activities. That is to say, our worldly employments and recreations, things that we normally would do or are able to do on the other days of the week. That's what sanctify means. It means to set apart, to differentiate between one and the other. And so we are to do that. We are to recognize that there is a distinct difference in God's economy between what we do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and what we do on the Lord's Day. And it begins, of course, the answer to the question begins that this day is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day. Now, this is not implying idleness of any kind. This is not license necessarily to just go sleep the day away and say that I'm engaged in a holy resting. That's not the argument, nor is it the issue as presented to us by this commandment. It's a holy resting. There may be things that we must do on the Lord's Day that are consistent with the purpose of that day. And so the larger catechism even gives us some further insights into this question and answer as we consider just the first half of it. Question 117, the larger catechism, how is the Sabbath of the Lord's Day to be sanctified? The Sabbath of the Lord's Day is to be sanctified by an holy resting all the day, not only from such works as are at all times sinful, but even from such worldly employments and recreations as are on other days lawful, and making it our delight to spend the whole time, except so much of it is to be taken up in works of necessity and mercy, in the public and private exercise of God's worship. And to that end, we are to prepare our hearts, and with such foresight, diligence, moderation, to dispose and seasonably dispatch our worldly business, that we may be the more free and fit for the duties of that day. Much of this we're going to consider in tomorrow's edition, these works of necessity and mercy and so forth. But what needs to be seen just up front is that in order to properly sanctify the Lord's Day, we must see it as a holy resting. And not necessarily mean napping, but it does mean things that tend to the purpose of the Lord's Day. Now, one of those is mentioned there at the end, spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. We're going to consider that further tomorrow. But what it is highlighting for us is that we must see this day and treat this day as very different from any other day that God has given to us, and those things that we engage in on that day need to be, ought to be, consistent with the purpose of that day, which is to worship, both public and in private. Nehemiah's day, this issue was a factor, and in Nehemiah 13, begin reading in verse 15, reading through the end of the chapter, here's what God's word says. In those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath. That's a good thing to do on Tuesday. But here it's being done on the Sabbath. And bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on that, on the day when they sold food. Tyrians also who lived in the city brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah in Jerusalem itself. Then I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day?" Now we'll stop there for a moment. What are they doing? Well, they're doing what they would normally do on every other day of the week. They're not treating this day any differently as is ordered by this commandment itself. They're not sanctifying it. They're treating it as common. In their activities, they're demonstrating that they see it as any other day. Verse 18, "Did not your fathers act in this way, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." And that's precisely what happened to them prior. Here Nehemiah is back at the city, and he sees the same kind of sins being committed by the people of God. Verse 19, "As soon as it began to grow dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and gave orders that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath." So this man takes the lead to enforce the very law of God that it might not be violated by his people. "I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load might be brought in on the Sabbath day. And the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice, but I warned them and said to them, 'Why do you lodge outside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you.' From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come and guard the gates to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember this also in my favor, O my God, and spare me according to the greatness of your steadfast love." That's enough, I think, for this chapter, just to highlight the very point that what was going on at Jerusalem in those days was the everyday ordinary work, labor, efforts of people, and they were not setting this day apart. They weren't sanctifying it. Now, we do this all the time. When we engage in activities and business and commerce and recreations that are lawful on Wednesday. But God says at this point now, on the Lord's Day, they are to cease. And this day is to be given more focused attention upon God and his people, both in private and public worship. And Isaiah, in Isaiah 58, again highlighting the problem with the people of God. They were not keeping his Sabbath the way they should. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you rot on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." In a nutshell, God honors his word. He blesses those who seek to keep his commands. But notice how in verse 13 we read there, "from doing your pleasure," and at the end of the verse, "or seeking your own pleasure." These things are not necessarily wrong on other days, but on this day, it's being treated as common. "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day." And this is the idea. God wants us to see the Lord's day as different from any other day. And in order to rightly sanctify it, we must see it the way he sees it. He calls it holy. Not just good, but he calls it a holy day set apart for the people of God. And so we must be careful that our worldly employments and recreations do not interfere with the purpose of the day. There are certainly works of necessity that we'll talk about tomorrow that must be done on the Lord's Day and have to be done on the Lord's Day by necessity. There are works of mercy that have to be done, should be done on the Lord's Day. But in general, most of the things that we call employment do not need to be done on the Lord's Day, and they should be kept off of that day, and in order that we might sanctify the Sabbath and honor the Lord who gave this command. Many of you know, many years ago, I used to work in the retail industry. I worked in the grocery industry, and I would argue that working in the grocery industry is not a work of necessity. There are six other days of the week by which people can shop and they can get their food and whatnot. And there are many other types of employments and that are like that, if we're just honest about these matters before the Lord. But here we're taught very clearly that we must treat the day different. And it highlights the two big areas of most people's lives, their job and their recreations. And so we don't engage in going to baseball games or even allowing our children to participate in such behavior on the Lord's Day. What are we teaching our children when we allow these things to happen? We teach them that the church is secondary, that God's commands are secondary. We teach them that God's kingdom is not as important as the baseball game. God is more than happy to have you play baseball, have your children play baseball on Tuesday, providing it doesn't interfere with your other responsibilities and duties. He's more than happy to have you go to work and earn your daily bread. That's how he cares for you. He gives you that job, but he would have you honor him by keeping it different and separate on the Lord's Day. It reminds me of a story of a man that was looking for a job and asked me, when I was a ruling elder, asked me for some advice, and I just simply told him that when he goes for that job, just tell your potential employer that you're not available on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. If you honor him, he will honor you. His response was, well, they won't hire me then. And I said, that's not for you to worry about. You're a Christian. You let God take care of that. He will honor those who seek to honor him. Well, sadly, he didn't listen and ended up working in retail, something I knew quite a bit about. And he missed worship almost every week. That cannot be good for one's soul. And so God would have us honor this day, set it apart. It's different. It's unique. We need to treat it that way as God's people. Well, I trust these times are a benefit for you. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact me. That information is there before you on the screen. So until the Thursday edition, when we look further into question number 60, may the Lord bless you and keep you, help you this day. God bless.